So our readings this day began with Isaiah 43, with these words that we often, in the Christian tradition, tie to baptism. And Isaiah 43 starts out with these words, "I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through raging waters, you will not drown. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned." Really, God? Really? Then how come so many people get sick or hurt in accidents? What about all the people out west who are drowning in heavy rains? What about the 30 families in Newtown? Protect them, did you? All the other people killed by violence in this country? You will not drown. You will not be burned by the fires. Tell that to those who drown in suffering, those who are burned by hate and racism. So what kind of promise is this, God? Is it empty? If we assume that this is a literal thing, where we expect God to do everything for us, and we're kind of like a helicopter parent who never lets kids fall down and get hurt, then yes, it's going to feel like an empty promise. Just more superstitious words from the past. As you might know, critics of Christianity use examples like this to include that we are nothing more than a bunch of superstitious fools worshiping a Bronze Age sky god. But if we understand God's promise in a different way, it is not empty at all. The truth is, God does not stop bad things from happening. God does not reward us with good things if we follow the rules, and God does not punish us with bad things if we're naughty. That's a Santa Claus theology. It's nothing but a cheap misunderstanding of the Buddhist concept of karma. But there's a reason we hear these words from Isaiah today. We hear them because we are remembering Jesus' baptism and by extension our own baptism. And God's promise for us here runs in two directions. The first part is God's promise to us. The second part is God's promise through us. It's both. Well, the first part, God's promise to us, is this. I have called you by name. You are mine. Always and forever. That's the promise we hear again and again in baptism. It's what we renewed this morning as we began worship. God's promise to be with us always and forever, and nothing is going to change that. God will love us always, even when we don't love God back, even when we forget about God, even when we go our own way. God promises to be faithful to us, even when we are not faithful to God. That is God's part. If you want to know what that's like, have kids sometime, and wait till they break your heart, and find out if you still love them. And the answer is, yes, we do. As much as that might hurt, we love them anyway. It may not make sense, but we do it. And if we human beings do that, imagine how much more our God does. And that is where God starts with us. God's promise to us. So we know we never need to worry. No fear, no gloom, but a promise to love us always and without condition. And that, friends, is no empty promise. We began worship this morning with the remembrance of baptism. And it tells us that God brings us into God's family and calls us his own, but it doesn't end there. We ask God to fill us with a promise, with the power of God's promise, but then to shine the light of Christ into the world, to send us out into the world to live it, bringing mercy and love and grace. Now, living our baptism does not always look religious. You know, we're always tempted to focus on the faith part, what we believe, and stop there. Perfect. Just what the world needs. Another religion. But God has so much more in store for us. Because faithfulness to God is not just about coming here. Oh, yes, it starts in baptism, in this place where God's promise of forgiveness comes to us and is renewed and sealed again week after week here at the altar. We are fueled for the journey. we are gathered, fed, and sent, right? It is also about being sent out. Living a life where love is not just a word, it's not just an idea, but it is something that shows up in macaroni and cheese. It's something that shows up in clothes and boots. It shows up when our hard-earned money is generously given to share, to send God's love in our name and God's name. See, God doesn't just do stuff while we sit around and watch. No, God starts things, and then we carry them. When Jesus was baptized, God was saving the world from itself. And hardly anybody noticed. At Jesus' baptism, it was the beginning of a new time, of God's promise working through us. But just as God doesn't work alone, we don't work alone either. See, being faithful to God is not a matter of simply being assigned a bunch of jobs to do to make God happy. Oh, no. Instead, God comes to us to work in us and through us. Now, something interesting happened when Jesus was baptized. A few little words. Luke tells us when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. The significance of that phrase might be missed on us. It's important to know that back then, people believed that God lived up above in the sky somewhere, above something that was like a dome, like a huge plexiglass cheese dome, or that Stephen King TV series, The Dome. Okay. God was up there and we were down here. But now Luke says, the heavens are open. And in Jesus, God is loose. God is no longer separated from us. We are no longer separated from God, and we have God's promise, I am with you. I am. When Jesus was baptized, we heard God say, you are my chosen one, my beloved. God starts with a promise to us. God still calls us. God is still loose. God is at work with God's promise through us. Now we know that Jesus' baptism by John was different than the baptism we do. John's baptism was purely symbolic. It was a ritual form of repentance in which those who were baptized committed themselves to live differently and to live in a new way. It's a good thing. It's just different than what we do. The difference is, in John's baptism, the promise was being made by the one being baptized. It was not God's promise. It was their promise. In the baptism we do by Jesus' command, the direction is changed entirely. We don't make the promise to God. God makes the promise to us. And as I like to say, because it's God's promise, we can't break it. It is a promise to us, but it doesn't end there. Now, of course, God doesn't make us fulfill the promise. If we don't live it, if we do not choose to live differently, then baptism will feel like just one more religious ritual. But in order to make it full and alive, we need to use it. We need to live it. See, God's call does not stop with Jesus. God's call to us starts with Jesus, and then God calls us. God calls you not to do magic, but to do love, to do compassion and mercy, to do justice, to bring hope, to carry Christ into the world now and today, especially now, in the face of all the things that leave us feeling scared, numb, and weary. God calls Jesus and God calls us in our baptism to bring love and healing into this world. God doesn't make us do it. We're free. We can choose good or evil, love or apathy and hate. God has filled us with love and power to create life, to give lives back, to bring God's healing. Again, it's not magic. It's love. It's a promise that is far from empty. A promise for new life for every way we feel dead inside. A promise for courage when we are afraid. A promise of light for every darkness we face. A promise that we will never, ever be alone when the waters of fear rage around us, for we will not drown. God is with us. A promise to hold us safe in fires of pain and alienation and loneliness, for God is with us. Are God's promises empty? Only if we live in a narrow, black and white world that removes feelings, experience, hope, forgiveness, and removal of guilt from our lives. If God's promises are literal, then they might feel empty. But if God's promises are living and real, they are absolutely not empty. They are full. God has chosen you. God has called you by name. You are mine, always and forever. I promise, God says, I promise. My promises are full. I will always be with you. You'll never be alone. I promise.